November 11th, we often remember this day, and we remember, of course, our veterans, and it is the perfect time of year to speak with our friends at the Pearly and Rideau Veterans Health Center. And I'm joined in studio by the incredible Heather Moxley. Hello.
Hello.
And I'm so glad you're here. I think you've got like one of the best jobs, and it's a volunteer job, which is even more heartwarming. So tell us a little bit about your role at the Pearly Rideau.
Well, I do a variety of volunteer jobs, but the one I think that's the most special and meaningful to me is I welcome residents with their families on their very first day when they're moving in.
Wow.
So I meet them at the door. I get them to the room. I introduce them to different staff people as we go along the way. And some of the practical things, make sure their clothing gets labeled so it doesn't get lost in the laundry. They know their way around. If there's other paperwork they have to go fill out. But more than anything, I think what I really enjoy about the day is getting to meet the residents and their families and helping them get settled.
A transition day like that can be sometimes very stressful. There can be a lot of joy in it, knowing that they've got this beautiful room, of course, at the Pearly Rideau. But that transition can be challenging for families. And you've got this your beautiful smile to welcome them. Is that part of the reward that you have for doing that work?
Oh, absolutely. In almost every part of the day, you just see them relax and get more comfortable with what the move means to them, how to find their way around, who they're going to be living with. It's immediately rewarding.
It's amazing. I have had the absolute privilege of spending time at the Pearly Rideau, and I'm shocked at how much is happening in that building and in those buildings. And I needed breadcrumbs to find my way back to the front desk. So I can understand sort of those first few days would be really important for people finding their way too.
Oh, it is. It's a large place. We do try and make them comfortable that they can stay within a small area until they're really familiar, mm-hmm. or somebody can help them get to many of the different activities if they're on another floor in another building.
How did you find yourself volunteering at the Pearly Rideau?
Oh, that was really easy. My father was a resident for 7 years, and it was perfect for him. He was in a wheelchair and just didn't have the mobility to be safe at home anymore. We'd had 724 care, and we'd exhausted that. And he moved into the Pearly, and it was just perfect. So both my sister and I used to visit him regularly. And after he passed away 6 years, we just stayed. And we both continue to volunteer there.
So it's just really become part of your family.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And my great-nephew volunteers. He's 12.
Wow, I love that. That's amazing. What role would a 12-year-old be able to do in a volunteer position?
He goes with his father because he's too mm-hmm. young to go independently, and he visits one of the veterans. And they go on Wednesday nights, and they sit down and they have a chat, usually about what's happening in hockey. But they have just a lovely chat, and the resident has a guest book. So my nephew signs the guest book each time and notes down what they chatted about.
That might be the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, it's lovely. They Wow. both get something out of it.
Tell me about the first time or the first moment you brought your father to the Pearly Rideau. What was that like?
Oh, well, I didn't do it. My mother did it.
Okay.
But one of and I ran into the nurse just the other day who welcomed Dad to the Pearly. And my mom's a Maritimer. She's passed away also, but I checked with her that night and I said, so how'd it go today? Mm-hmm. Is Dad settled? Is it okay? And she goes, yes, it's perfect. I handed him over to a Maritimer. He's going to be fine.
I love that so much.
And it was. He was really, really well supported while he was there.
And your role currently includes being the chair of the Friends and Family Council. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that council.
It's an association that we run for the families and friends. There are other associations that are specifically for residents, but this one's specifically for the families and friends. And we generally do more of a support and educational role. So we'll organize speakers, say, once a month to come in and talk about some of the changes that are going on or how to contact certain services. And it's also an opportunity for family members to meet other family members and draw connections and support.
I think it's brilliant because, you know, as much as, yes, you know, someone might be living there, it's everyone around them, sort of those people that provide that support. The more in know that they are, the more the experience is better for everyone.
Absolutely. And then the more you get to know the resident and the families as individuals, mm-hmm. the better the care can be because it can be more personalized.
Is there one particular family that you sort of think about when you think about your role as a family that stood out to you that was a very special welcome opportunity for you?
Oh, I've moved in over 200 residents.
Wow.
So it's really hard. There have been so many characters. And they've all been so different. And the family support structures have been so different. There's been times where there's been a half a dozen family members with the resident. And it's almost overwhelming from that mm-hmm. perspective. And then a handful of times, unfortunately, where I've moved people in and they've had no family.
Wow.
And it's just them working through the system with the practical aspects of getting moved in. So in those cases, especially, I really feel that I have an opportunity to be a friend and a support mm-hmm. for them for mm-hmm. the day.
No, that's a really important piece because it's certainly until I was, you know, this information was shared with me in preparation for today, I didn't even realize that was a role. But now as I start to think about it, it's such an important role that those first few moments and that first day really can set the tone. For someone that's going to be having this transition into a new facility. And of course, anyone that's been there, it doesn't feel like a facility. It feels like home. But still, that transition can be challenging.
Well, it's not, as they move in, it's not their home. It's not where they're coming from. Some of them are very, very sad to be leaving a home that they might have lived in for decades. Others are just tickled to be getting there because they've been in the hospital for a while. And it's clearly a different and brighter place with a lot more optimism for mm-hmm. how they're going to enjoy their stay there. So it it really varies. But
I understand you have a story to tell about a blanket warmer.
Oh.
Can you share this with us?
Yeah, Delphine loves this story because after I moved in one resident, he was a case where he pretty much was moving in on his own. 99.
Wow.
Mostly able to walk there on his own, but we gave him a wheelchair ride just to, because it was a long walk to get to his room at the end of the hall. And he was tired and he was fully able to answer all the questions that he was asked about what was needed for his care and why he was there, and very, very competent fellow. But he was tired. He'd clearly been worried about this transition for a number of days. And he was chilled. And there was a draft in his room. And it was starting to get a little bit darker in the afternoon. And one of the staff people came by and I said, do you mind popping in? Because we think there's a draft. So the staff person came in and said, yes, we need to adjust that vent. It's hitting his chair the wrong way. We'll do that. And she said, but I have something else. And she popped back a minute later and brought a blanket out of the blanket warmer, wrapped it around him. And you just saw him melt into
Aww.
It. He relaxed. He smiled. And it's like he's saying, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm here and this is going to be fine. So right after that session, I went right down to the foundation office and double-checked how many blanket warmers we'd managed to get. We're only halfway through the the list, but it just made such an immediate difference for him.
Tell me about the reward it is for you to participate in this way for families and for veterans.
Well, I tease that I make new friends every time. I learn so much. I almost always can find some kind of personal tie. Ran into somebody the other day who knew my aunt from when she was a student at Lisgar. He
Wow.
was a student with her and she'd organized the sleigh rides. So he blossomed telling that story. And he and his wife were engaged on the willow tree that was out front of my high school in Montreal. So just little things like that. And for them, it was a very personal story that they felt was being heard. And for me, it was tons of meaning. I know exactly where they were talking mm-hmm. about. And it was just beautiful.
It's all about connections at the Pearly Rito.
Absolutely.
And I think the more that we remember the important work that's being done there, and not only important work, but innovative work, the better we all are as a community.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful place.
Heather, you brought lots of friends with you today.
I've
really enjoyed our time together, but we're going to have a chance to chat with many of your friends. And we're going to chat with Delphine, and we're going to chat with Danny and Daniel. And I really appreciate your time. And from all of us, thank you. Thank you for what you do for the Pearly Rito.
Thank you for the chance to talk about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Stay with us on An Hour to Give. There is no bigger joy for me than doing this radio show and having a friend in the studio.
Oh.
And Delphine Hasley's here. Hello, Delphine.
Hi, Sam.
I love that we're connected. We're connected, of course, as friends and as fundraising professionals. But I love seeing you in your element, and that is at the Pearly Rito. And you are really, truly at the heart of what's happening. Tell me a little bit about your role.
So I'm in a new role. So now I'm the executive director for our foundation. And when you're talking about being at the arch, you know, like if you look at the Pearly and you see where my office is, it's really at the middle of it all. And I love it. And why it's so great is by being at the center, I'm really connected with people who are coming from our community, our donors, but also our residents and tenants and everyone who lives at the Pearly. And so lucky to be there.
Do you remember the time you toured me around?
Yes, I do.
I love that. Has stayed with me so much because a couple of things. One, because you know, invited me in, and I really felt like it was an invitation to come in and meet, you know, the people that are calling Pearly Rito home, and that's what it is. It's a home for them. And you remember, I don't know if you remember, but I was so emotional when I saw these beautiful glass cases, when there was, you know, mementos in there, mm-hmm. things that meant something to the veterans. How important was that for you to sort of walk through the halls and see how people are represented and how they're remembering their history?
I think it's so important, you know, and I'm lucky because I'm part of the orientation process for our new hire, right? And I tell them all about the foundation and what we do, but I always share a tip with them and I always say, before you go into anyone's room, take the 2 seconds that they will tell you to just look at that memory cabinet, that's what we call it, mm-hmm. and just see the photo of that person when they were 17 years old or when they were just married. You know, because sometimes you open the door and you see someone who's older, like the average age is 95 years old. I go mm-hmm. to 100th birthday all the time. And it's just who we are serving. But really, those people have such a long life, amazing life. And by just seeing one thing, then you can ask a question and have such wonderful conversation with everyone. It's quite amazing.
And you're in this beautiful sweet spot because you get to work not only with veterans and their families all day, but you also get to work with donors and connecting donors to the needs of the people that are calling Pearly Rito home. Share with us some of the needs that you want to fulfill now.
So, yeah, so we have a priority need list, and that's really for the seniors and veterans who call the Pearly Rito home to make sure that their home is as wonderful as it could be. And it could be from programs where we are supporting the therapeutic and recreation creative heart programs, but it's also equipment that you will think that, of course, it should be there, like a medical bed who goes high and low and or left. But that is going to make such a difference in the life of the people who lives here. If you're in a wheelchair, you're going to need a lift to go from your bed to your chair and back in bed and for anything else. So it's those kind of things are only made possible thanks to our donors. So very generous. And that's our annual giving, you know, that's how we call it in our world. But also now we're looking at it and there is a crisis that's coming and our population is just getting older. And the way we're taking care of seniors today, it's not good enough. It's not sustainable. And with this crisis that's just coming our way, we need to find new ways to provide good care, amazing care, excellent care. That's what we're doing, but really to be able to do it for everyone and the large number that are coming. So at the Pearly, now there is some very innovative project that are coming up, but we need to raise money, you know, mm-hmm. and it's an $8 million campaign that's coming up.
So $8 million, tell me what you're hoping to accomplish with $8 million.
So really, it's a two-part project. One is we need to provide a new living option for seniors. And on our campus, we call it the Seniors Village. There is a gap in care that we have right now, and we want to fill that gap. So it will be seniors in our community that will have access to the Pearly Rideau care. So that's one part. And on the other part is we are establishing a center of excellence in frailty-informed care. And that is really to study, to do applied research, to really know what is the best protocol, what is the best practice that we should have in care for frail elderly. Again, we're talking about 95 years old average with very complex needs. And that's having that center of excellence is going to be Canada first, is really going to improve, and not only for the people who are living at the Pearly, but everywhere.
It's amazing. It really has become a place of innovation as well. We often don't think about the Pearly Rideau that way, but the truth is there's lots of innovation happening.
Yeah, and absolutely. You know, we are often known as a caring place, but we are because we are innovative. And we always try to look at the healthcare system as a whole and how can we help? How can we be part of the solution?
Tell me about Remembrance Day at the Pearly Rideau.
Oh, that is always a very special day, you know, because 55% of our population are veterans. And so it is a place where it's actually one of the biggest gathering of World War II and Korean War veterans in the city. And this year is very special. As an executive director of the foundation, I get to read in Flanders Field.
Wow.
So I've been practicing, but
oh, that makes me emotional. Oh, that's amazing. You've been practicing?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I think as children, we all were reading that as children. And I think as we grow older, we realize every single year the significance of the importance of not only that poem, but getting together on November 11th.
Yeah, and, you know, a smart man one day told me, you always have to think of one person during that minute of silence, not just veterans, or, but just think of one person. And that is, every year it's someone new that I think of. It's usually someone that we lost at the Pearly, but it makes it very special.
Amazing. When you toured me around, one of the places that I did not want to leave, by the way, was your art therapy room. And I don't know if I'm calling it by the correct name, but that room, it just felt really hopeful in that room. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. You know, and that's a really good way to describe it. And I think it's because as you get older, your social circle is just disappearing in some ways. You know, your friend is a past or they cannot visit you anymore. And so all of a sudden they move to the Pearly and they can go to those studios and where everything is happening a lot around the big tables and they have those conversation and they joke around and they just share a good time. And on top of it, sometimes they just say, oh, tomorrow morning, I know I have something to do, and I have something to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, some that you met, are there every day.
Wow.
So.
And that creative outlet, I think that's good for everyone to have a creative outlet and express themselves in different ways. And, you know, the art supplies. And I just loved that room. I wanted to start creating something. I think it's an amazing opportunity to connect one-on-one with people as well, help create something for them.
And it's a time where you don't have to think about anything else. You're just thinking of what you are creating. And you can do it whatever way you like it. You know, it doesn't matter. I always think of Zita, who loves glitter. She will put glitter on everything. And sometimes, you know, it shouldn't be there. But for her, it is. And that's it. Right. And that's and during that time, she doesn't have to think about her aches and what's going on in her life. She's just enjoying the moment, which is so great.
We have about a minute left. If you had somebody for 30 seconds on an elevator, what would you tell them about the Pearly Rideau?
The Pearly Rideau, it's a home where you come, and it's probably going to be your last home, but it's going to be a great home, and you're going to live life to the fullest.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I really encourage people, if they haven't visited before, and if they're a donor, they want to become a donor, because I think part of it for me is that connection. You have, first of all, you've got the most beautiful donor wall in the whole city. Don't tell anybody else I said that. but I really loved your donor wall. You know, I spent time there. I needed to experience. It's almost an experience to look, because I think part of it is that you see the connections and the people that have donated before. Making the connection to what you're going to donate towards is the key for us as fundraisers. Mm-hmm. What is my $100, my $1,000, my $10,000, my $100,000 going to do to change lives? And you illustrate that so beautifully.
Thank you.
I think it's really an important piece. When we come back, we're going to be speaking to a number of your friends. You brought, of course, Danny and Daniel with you as well. And we're going to be chatting about them as well. But we'll be thinking about everybody on November 11th at the Pearly Rideau. Stay with us on An Hour to Give. We have so much more to come. Did you know that there's a center of excellence at the Pearly Rideau? Well, I certainly didn't know that until today, meeting our guest, of course, Danny Sinden. Hello, Danny.
Hi.
Danny, what's your role with the Center of Excellence and Research at the Pearly Rideau?
Well, I think I have the best job. I'm working on a very exciting project at Pearly Rideau right now, and we're establishing the first Center of Excellence in Frailty-Informed Care. So that means that we're focusing on applied research, education, and best practices in order to improve the quality of life for all the people that we care for.
That is a pretty interesting job because, of course, you're working with people currently at Pearly Rideau, but you're also forward thinking.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, one of the things that makes Pearly Rideau so special is that we're constantly trying to innovate and to evolve and grow as the senior population grows in order to meet those needs.
What barriers do you see for seniors in terms of this kind of care?
Well, I think what we're seeing right now in the hospitals is really we're at a crisis situation right now where seniors are spending far too long in hospital. There's nowhere else for them to go. And we know that the hospital is not the right place for seniors to be. It's also an expensive option. It costs a lot of money to keep people in hospital. But most importantly, it's not the right place for seniors, and particularly frail seniors.
Let's step back for a second. How did you find yourself at Pearly Rideau?
Well, I've always had an interest in working with older adults. I think this started at a young age with my own grandparents. They didn't live very long, and so I didn't know them for as long as I would have liked. My grandmother, for example, developed dementia in her 60s, and I watched her condition progress, and I watched my mom struggle with that. And I think that really stuck with me. I think watching my mom at the time, I was pretty young, but looking back, I think she felt pretty powerless in terms of how my grandmother was being cared for. And my other grandmother developed cancer and died around the age of 65. And she passed away in hospital. And so, again, I was pretty young at this time. But looking back, I think that both of their care could have been managed much differently. And so I think that's partly what sort of prompted me to go into this field. And then I pursued a master's degree in gerontology. And then I ended up at the Pearly. I've been there for about almost 4 years.
And are there times where your experience, your personal experience, your experiences as a young girl shapes the work that you do now?
I think so. Just having seen what my grandparents went through and sort of missing out on that time with them, just all the wisdom and knowledge and stories that they had for the time that I did know them, I think that just made me more curious and more determined to make care and make the healthcare system a better place for seniors, including my own parents, which I hope to help be able to help them navigate the system when the time comes.
Absolutely. And it can be really daunting, you know, for someone that's trying to care for parents and have young children at the same time. And, you know, it's that sandwich generation, really. So I think that what I love about the Pearly Rideau, and we've heard from other guests today, is that the Pearly Rideau has this approach that it's centered around, and patient-centered, I should say, around the people that are there, but also family and friends are included.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's a key part to what we're trying to do with the Center of Excellence in Frailty and just the concept of frailty-informed care. It's not a term that you hear very often. And what we mean by that is really putting the resident and the family at the center of the care and making sure that we're looking at the disease and the condition, of course, but in terms of assessing frailty, looking at the whole person. And a key part of that puzzle is really understanding the person, understanding their life history, understanding their values, what were their preferences, where did they come from? And that's such a key part to understanding frailty. And that's how we approach frailty. And that's how we've developed our frailty-informed approach at Pearly Rideau.
Because everyone has a story.
Exactly.
Is there a story of someone you've worked with that has really touched your heart?
It's the stories that we hear from our staff. I think Pearly Rideau is known for the care and compassion that we provide. The staff have so many stories that I've heard and been part of been privileged to listen to. But one story that comes to mind is around we have many residents who have dementia and who exhibit responsive behaviors. So those are the types of behaviors that are difficult to manage. You know, we don't call them aggressive behaviors. We call them responsive because the person is responding to an unmet need in their environment. Mm-hmm. So the staff work very hard and they're very good at identifying what that need is and addressing it and trying to find a way to connect with those residents. What is that need? Why are they frustrated? Why are they upset? Are they in pain? So one example was a resident who was, it was really difficult to get this gentleman to the dining room each morning. He didn't want to go, really, really difficult for the staff to manage. So in conversations with the resident and also with the family, they learned that something that was really important to him, in his past was going to Tim Hortons with his wife. And that was really something that meant a lot to them. So the staff went out and they bought him a ceramic Tim Hortons mug. And they put it in the dining room each morning and made sure that he had his cream. And that made all the difference in terms of getting him there each morning.
Sometimes it's the little things.
Exactly.
That become the big things, right?
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. So when you think about, you know, all of the staff working every day to make sure the quality of life, everybody's staying there. Of course, you've got veterans there, but everybody's staying at the Pearly Rideau. What's your dream for 10 years from now?
That's a good question. Well, I think the direction that Pearly Rideau is going in terms of growing and evolving, we're really a seniors village now. I think people think of us as just being long-term care, which is a large portion of what we do, but we also have so many other programs and services on campus, and we're expanding and growing now as well. So in 10 years, I see that becoming even more prominent, offering even more of a continuum of care. So making sure that we have programs and services on campus that people can transition through and so that we can meet their needs as they change. And then that innovative component, so the research, the applied research that we're going to be doing, we want to not only be implementing best practices when it comes to frailty, but we want to be setting those standards. So really striving for excellence. So that's what I see in 10 years. I see us being a leader on a national and international stage when it comes to providing frailty-informed care and really being the go-to place for older adults living with frailty.
And how important are donors to this puzzle?
Well, they're extremely important. There are so many things that we want to do, and our foundation has already been so supportive in terms of the donations and the financial support that they've provided. But, you know, we're trying to be innovative and do things that no one else has done before. And so the support from donors and the foundation is really, really integral to doing that.
And when you get an opportunity to meet with maybe a new family,
mm-hmm.
How does that feel?
I mean, it's really special when we hear about some of the benefits, for example, that some of our projects, how they've impacted families. So, for example, we have when we talk about our frailty-informed approach to care, one of the programs that we've implemented is our subacute care for frail elderly unit. So that's a program that helps transition people from hospital back home. So again, addressing that that crisis that we're seeing in hospital around hallway medicine. So you know, we've heard so many stories of families and from patients who have transitioned. We've been able to get them out of hospital faster and get them home faster. So restoring their independence and getting them back to a place where they can return home, and that's so important for people. And the testimonials that we've received about this program have just been really, really positive in terms of, you know, saying they never would have been able to go home. You know, we've given them their lives back and things like that. So we have to keep going in this direction in terms of thinking outside the box, of thinking of new models of care about how to care for this large number and growing number of seniors.
Can we go back to your grandma for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Your grandmas, I should
yes.
say. What do you think they would think about the work you're doing?
I think they would be proud. I would. I have to say that, you know, they probably weren't. This was sort of in the early 90s when they were. So it was a different time and place. Mm-hmm. I would have chosen a different place for them to have been cared for. But I can say absolutely that I would have been happy for them to be at the Pearly Rideau. So we're really, really lucky to have this place in our community. It's a really special place to work and for our community.
I love visiting because I always feel I've left enriched. And I don't know if that's the same for you when you work there every day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up in our day to day and I'm mostly in my office. But when I do have those conversations with the staff and when I see families and residents in the hallway, mm-hmm. you hear their stories, it's really, really touching. And it just reinforces why I'm in this field.
Have you ever gone down to the pub and had a drink with them?
I haven't actually tried. I don't know if it's open for staff or
yeah.
not.
They
but,
love their
but
pub,
that is,
though.
That is a very special place for
it
people.
Is.
And actually, I do have a story about the pub. So we had a resident who was nearing end of life. And something that had been really important to him in his past was going to a pub that he always used to frequent. And he really wished that he could go back one last time to this pub. Of course, his condition didn't allow for that to happen. So instead, our staff, and this is another example of staff going above and beyond, but they recreated the pub that he used to frequent in our own pub at Pearly Rideau. And they, you know, put the decor up just like it was in his pub and the music and, you know, just made it feel like he was at home. And he was unfortunately so ill that they couldn't physically take him to the pub. So instead, they used a technology that we're using in one of our research projects called virtual reality. And they were able to videotape the and really have him be immersed in that, put the headset on him. And he was able to put the headset on it as though he were in the pub. And, you know, they all raised a glass and said, you know, cheers to Bob. And it wow. really, really was very touching for him that the staff did that. And it really, again, just another way that we try to improve the quality of life for people right up until the end.
Well, you made my whole day with that story. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Dani. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Dani Sinden from the Pearly Rideau. And she brought another friend with her. Daniel's going to join us. Stay with us on An Hour to Give. We have learned so much about the Pearly Rideau today, and we're going to continue learning because we've got Daniel Chenault here. Hello.
Good day.
I'm so happy you've joined us. Of course, the Pearly Rideau is such an important organization and facility in our community, and you're wanting to ensure that it's here for a very, very long time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we know we have a situation with the healthcare in Canada, And the Pearly has a formula that is the winning formula.
It absolutely is, for sure. And your role is the co-chair of the Caring for the Future Capital Campaign.
Exactly. John Jarvis, who's the other co-chair on this. It's like everything else. We need to kind of feed on off each other. And having two people as chairman of the Capital Campaign will give us some leeway in how to manage our resources and our time. Because it's going to be a big event. I mean, we've got 3 years in the planning here.
3 years to raise $8 million.
That is correct.
And what is your goal at the end of it all?
Well, if we can do this, raise the $8 million, the whole idea is to be able to provide the funds to kind of carry forward with the and expanding the Veterans Hospital. We've got the physical side that we're looking at. We're also the Center of Excellence that we're talking about. The whole idea is to make sure that we care for the seniors. We know we've got a situation that's on our hand, and it's going to get worse instead of better. You know, the statistics are telling us that there's people that are 65 years older. There are more people that are 65 years and older than there are 15 years and younger.
Right.
And, you know, when you think about it, we're all going to get there. All of us. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. And unless you're in that situation, you don't understand it. I remember way back when my parents were starting to get into that stage of being elder. Let's put it this way. Dad passed away on 20th of December back in 95. And I always remember that. Dad had a great mind, but his body was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mom, on the other hand, was 9 years his junior. Her mind was gone, but her body was fantastic. There's nothing wrong with her body. And the doctor always told her, you'll live to 150, but her mind was gone. So it was tough on the family. And like I say, I mean, you know, people don't realize it until you're actually living it. You know, it's easy to talk about it, but, you know, you have to live it. And if you come to the Pearly, you're going to see action. You're going to see it being done. People living with dignity. And that's what I think is the important thing about what we're trying to do here. Capital Campaign that we're starting. I mean, this is just, we're putting the things into place. It's a lot of planning and a lot of work involved. And like everything else, I mean, we're looking for the support of the community for this. This is not going to be a one-man show.
I think it's really important when you're dealing with a capital campaign to remember at the heart of it all, it's about people.
Exactly.
And your experience with your parents is what many, many of us are going to experience or have experienced. And those gifts to the capital campaign will be ways to remember maybe people that have passed.
Well, not only that, it's the future too. If you think about this, I mean, we're looking at, yes, the need is now, okay? And it is important.
Mm-hmm.
But down the pipeline in the next 10 years, 20 years, it's going to keep on expanding. I mean, it's not something that's a solution for the immediate.
So true.
It's something that we will live. And, you know, there are a lot of good campaigns out there. I mean, I don't, you know, belittle any of them. But this one in particular is we will all get affected by it one way or another. Like, you know, you will get old. I'm sorry to say that. It will happen. Now, in what state are you going to be?
How does it feel when you walk in the Pearly Rito? What's that like for you?
Every time I go there, I mean, I look at it, it's alive. It's not, you know, a lot of people, I have friends that are in 80s and 90s, and they're saying, well, I'm going to end up dying in the Pearly. No, not really. Don't look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vibrant society. It's a vibrant environment. People are in there, and first of all, there's smiles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's no one looking down and saying, oh, this is terrible. No, it's an environment that helps to better and to make it kind of more enjoyable. And that's what I think is the big thing about, you know, getting old and becoming frail and the elderly is keeping that smile.
Mm-hmm.
You come and meet our people that are at the Pearly Hospital and you'd be amazed. I mean, we've got all kinds of things going on to keep them busy and they're living with dignity. That I think, you know, I'm, you know, going back to my parents. I mean, believe me, and it's tough to say this, but not all long-term care facilities are created equal.
Oh, that's true.
And it's too bad here in Ottawa. We think of this modern city, but I visited a lot of them before I ended up. You know, I remember Mom. I moved her 3 times, going to a long-term care facility, which she says, "No, that's not where you're going, Mom." I mean, you know, and taking her out and said, "We're going to go someplace else." But the Pearly, they got the winning formula. it is the way to go forward. So that's why I'm just so involved with it. And, you know, I look at that and I says, I got to give a little bit, and that's my little bit. And I'm hoping being able to bring the community with me.
And inspiring the community is obviously one of the roles of a chair. And you're doing a great job, by the way. You're
totally inspirational.
You know. What other ways will you do that? Are you willing to sort of go out and chat with maybe community groups? Are you willing to give tours?
Oh, absolutely. What does that look like? Absolutely. I mean, the whole idea is just make sure that the message goes out. And how better to make the message go out is one-on-one.
Right.
Okay? I will be going out to different organizations. I will be talking with people of influence, people with, well, let's put it this way, I'm after money, okay? Let's be honest here. People that got the money that can kind of do a part in supporting this financially. And so, yes, the whole idea is we will be going out, meeting these people, talking, and visits. You want to visit at the Pearly? Heck, we'll arrange it. No two ways about it. And we'll show you how it's done. And so that you can come back and say, look, that's what a winning formula.
I love seeing dollars in action like that. I love being able to, especially as a fundraiser myself, showing people exactly where their money is going.
Absolutely. And it's concrete. It's not something you say, well, look, we'll put it here and it'll come out someday. No, it's there. And the need is more pressing than ever. It's now that it's important. So that's why I'm inviting the community. Come and help us. We need your support.
I think it's really fantastic. Tell me a little bit about other people that are involved in the campaign.
Well, we got a lot of good people that are stepping up to the plate, like we can say. We got the past military. We've got a lot of civilian people that have got a vested interest because they're seeing their parents getting older and they're seeing how it's happening. And they say, well, look, how do I get on the winning bandwagon here? Mm. So, yeah, and, you know, success will attract success. And so we're seeing people who have had their parents are at this, you know, you don't have to be a military to be at the Pearly. Okay. There's a lot of other non-military there at the Pearly. And you're seeing them come with their family and friends and their children, and they're seeing how their parents are being treated. And they say, wow, this is the way to go. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's we're looking forward to going full steam with this. We're just starting our campaign. So I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this on the radio.
Sure.
Because it's one of those things that it's important that we get the message out.
Really is important. And if you were to have an opportunity to chat with a donor that was maybe thinking about a significant gift to them, what would you say to them about where their money would be going?
Well, I would say to start off with is that the money is for the caring for the elders, okay? Now, you're going to say, well, it's kind of generic. But we got this center of excellence, and a lot of it is going to be kind of learning how to deal and how to care for the elders. This is the big thing. And it's not just the idea of, look, popping pills. It's the idea is more than that. It's the whole environment, the whole person, you know, the idea is how do they make the person feel at ease, living with dignity, and being able to just carry on and with a smile. Now, you know, we've got the excellence, Center of Excellence. We've got a lot of programs that are in the making. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're also going to be creating, expanding with the hospital beds. Okay, that's the whole idea also is to create more beds available. Because right now we have a waiting list. And the waiting list is getting long because more and more people need this, the attention. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
You are very inspiring, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's very nice of you.
I think it's important that community members step up to the roles that you've taken on, you and yourself and your, of course, and John Jarvis. I think that's a really important role for all of us to have in the community is to step up and believe in something so much and be so passionate about it, but also bring many, many people with us.
Yeah, and just let's remember, okay, seniors, we've lived all our lives. Let's finish with dignity.
Beautifully said. Daniel Chanel, and to all my guests today, chatting about the Pearly Rideau, it has been my honor and my privilege, and we really encourage you to take time out and obviously think about a veteran this weekend and, of course, on Monday, November the 11th, but take time out and connect with a veteran and make a gift to the Pearly Rideau. Thank you for joining us on An Hour to Give.